The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Malinoff. We got football to discuss, not just football. Actually just football. But with the combine happening and maybe a new supposed number one overall pick in the works, let's just get right into it. With the height of you-know-who Kyler Murray being announced at 5'10", the question now remains, is he the number one overall pick? Because new mock drafts have been released showing that Kyler Murray is the first person taken in the draft, and it's not by trade. It is the Cardinals taking him in the draft. So, that begs the question. Does that mean they're going to move from Josh Rosen with their new quarter, with their new head coach and a new quarterback, completely both new, and move on from there? And then what do you do with Josh Rosen? Do you trade him? Do you just outright cut him? What do you do there? There's a lot of unanswered questions. And so we're going to go by how you go about this on both sides, either drafting Murray or keeping Rosen. We'll talk about both those angles. We'll talk about just in general what's happening in the world of football and the draft and how that's going to, and the combine is finishing up today, I believe, and how that's going to change a lot. But again, first things first, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about Kyler Murray. Like I say, in the mock draft, he is the number one overall selection in some mock drafts now. He wasn't before, but he was at one point like 15, like in the like number pick 11, 11 to 13 or something like that. So that is an interesting thing to think about because of the facts that, you know, they just drafted a quarterback in the first round last year. So I think the main question is it a smart move to draft another quarterback and try it with him instead of giving Josh Rosen another opportunity? Because I'm going to defend Josh Rosen here. And I'm defending him like this. He had a very weak offensive line, probably the worst in the league. He had a very weak offense. David Johnson was non-existent. His best player on his offensive side in a receiving core was Larry Fitzgerald. And nothing against Larry Fitzgerald, just he's at an old age at the end of his career, and the other players were not doing so hot. So he only had a one weapon and kept having to run for his life because he kept rushing the ball and such. And getting pressured and all that horrifying instances he probably had to deal with. And so I don't blame him at all for how, like, rough the Cardinals did this season. He just didn't have a team around him that could win. And now he's going to be cut down and looked at as a draft bust, and that's not fair. I don't like that. So, I personally think that he should not be cut. He should not be traded or whatever. But I think if Kyler Murray's drafted, then we know that someone's days are numbered, and that somebody is Josh Rosen. So with that, we have to look at the facts that it might just be it for Josh Rosen, because he just went to the worst team possible for the quarterbacks. That's just how I see it, at least. I could be wrong. They could have like a quarterback battle, I guess, for the starting position, but I don't know why you would do that. But one way or another, it's going to be one of those things where we have to find out whoever drafts Kyler Murray. He looks to be the future starting quarterback this season, whoever is playing. And what I mean by that is just, no matter who drafts him, he's going to be the starter. That's just how I feel. That's how it's probably going to go down. He's not throwing. He's not doing any of the drills. But regardless, I think he doesn't need to. And what I mean by that also is just, when you look at Kyler Murray and his Heisman Trophy campaign, he had a pretty great, fantastic season, no doubt about it. And he has all the potential in the world. And it's going to be tough for him to play in the NFL right away. It's always tough, especially for a Heisman Trophy winner. That has the history of bad luck. But if anyone could break this, like I guess technically Cam Newton was the one to break the curse, but ever since him, it's been rough too. But if anyone's going to break the curse of, like, rough Heisman Trophy winners having a rough time in the NFL, Kyler Murray might be that guy. I really believe that. He has all the talent. He has Russell Wilson size. He's faster than him. I think he has a better arm than he does. And he might be the number one. I think he's moved up to the number one quarterback prospect because of the fact he's not under 5'10". I think that's put a huge factor into this. And now with the combine just about over, and we all know where everyone stands height, weight wise, and size wise, I guess, is that this is the most crucial things. It all comes down to this point. This draft is, every year, these drafts have been super interesting, and they really haven't let us down in the terms of hype. This is whoever gets drafted first in Nashville by the Arizona Cardinals, or the Cardinals might trade down. Who knows what's going to happen? Because we've seen that happen before. We're going to see a lot of different outcomes, different possibilities. Like the Jets were also talking about removing their third overall pick or trading down from their number three. They're open to the fact they could do that, as well as the 49ers have said they're open to that as well. So with all of that, it all comes down to the facts of what's everyone looking for? What's the key to all these teams and what they need in the draft? Because a lot of these teams are going to be looking to win right now, and that's not the way you're supposed to do this. Maybe in some positions, yes, but not in the positions you're looking at in terms of quarterback, especially quarterback, and some positional spots on the offense. But since this is an edge rushing favorable draft, Nick Bosa could still very well go first overall. Then it could still be like Josh Allen and Quinton Williams. Then it could be the vice versa on that one for the third pick. But then you could see someone trading up to that third pick if they think the Cardinals aren't going to take a quarterback and steal Kyler Murray from maybe the fifth pick Giants, who are maybe going for a quarterback, and maybe stealing from the Jags at the seventh pick, who may be going for a quarterback as well. Or the Jaguars themselves would trade up and take a pick from the from the Giants and take a quarterback they want, like I said in my mock draft yesterday. But there's still a lot of unanswered questions, and they're going to be unanswered in April in Nashville. That's where the draft is being held, for those who don't know. But I think it's a very surreal deal that the NFL draft, just people walking up, handing, getting said, hey, you're going to this team from, you're from this college, and handing them a jersey and handing and shaking their hand and then walking off every 5 to 10 seconds. And that brings in thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And it's truly remarkable to see how many people get involved in the whole draft aura, the draft science, or the draft spectacular, if you will, by how all this is going down. And it's incredibly interesting to think about, just like last year we were in Dallas at AT&T Stadium, over 100,000 people showed up, not to watch football, but to people be drafted to play football inside the National Football League. I don't think the AAF or the XFL or any of those developmental leagues themselves can't do that, because they don't have the payroll to do that, because they don't have that kind of money lying around like the NFL does. The NFL is a whole new spectacle. When you make something as simple as the draft a spectacle, it's really showing how successful your company it is. And that's what the NFL is. It's a business. And yeah, they're playing a sport, but it's still a multi-billion dollar business, and it's an insane multi-billion dollar business for sure. And this is going to be their 100th NFL season. We might see, like, if you remember the 1994 season, they had a 75th anniversary jerseys of way old throwbacks and new jerseys for teams and stuff like that for each team. Maybe they'll do that this year, which would be pretty cool overall. But I think the bottom line is that we are going to have a very interesting draft this year, and we will see about those how this the 100th season of the NFL will be going. But we're going to take a tiny short break right now. When we come back, we'll be talking about just other things that are going on right now in the NFL, free agency and up, who might be paid, who might not. And we'll be right on that when we return.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Just finished talking about the draft. Now, let's move on to some free agency talk, as Earl Thomas is in the news recently, and he's not going to give the Dallas Cowboys any hometown discount, quote-unquote. What Earl Thomas wants is the highest-paid contract for a safety, and with Kansas City's own Eric Berry being paid $13 million a year, I believe, if that's right, then he's going to be asking for a massive contract. And who knows what this contract is going to be lengthwise and money-wise. But like he said this, he will not take a hometown discount for the Cowboys. This is thanks to Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Jeez, a telegram. What is this, 1932? But regardless, and obviously, Earl Thomas is coming off a bad leg injury, where the last time we probably will see him in a Seahawks uniform is if him flipping off his own team, which is probably the most gutsiest thing you can do. Like, how? Like, I know how to get people pissed off at me on that team. I'm just going to flip everybody off. And he will piss people off by flipping people off. It just, that's how it worked. And so with that, I say I don't think there's going to be much of a question about, like, him being a head case or anything like that, or, like, trouble to work with. But I think the bottom line is that he just wants out of there, Seattle, I mean. And that could be his hometown of Dallas. That could be the 49ers. That could be an L.A. team. But we will never really know right now. So we'll have to wait until the beginning of the draft to really see this. Maybe there'll be a – yeah. But then again, that starts March 13th. Not too far away. About – it's about 2 weeks from now, roughly. Maybe a week and 13 days. But the, regardless, it's one of those instances where 13th and 14th and that weekend is going to be chaos of – my phone just going off and going, oh, there's someone else just got signed. Oh, someone just got traded. Oh, someone just got signed. My phone's about to destroy. And then my phone blows up out of so much, too much information based on football and that offseason, because that's just how it's going to go. That's how it seems to be going too. And right now, it just, let's get love about, football and basketball. You can get out there too, that their free agency is so quick paced and so easy to work with, unlike the Major League Baseball where everyone's having trouble signing with a team. And even if they do sign with a team, it's for an extensive period of a huge contract, and they'll have to pay off the and then the opposite team, the people that traded for them, will have to pay the dead tax. So it's just like, it just doesn't work out well for
the ownership and general managers and how they're going to go with who they're going to sign and who they're not going to sign. It's a very open-ended discussion. But teams like the Cowboys are ready to make – are ready to use money. They have a lot of cap space, like the 49ers. They don't really have that much cap space, but like they have the cap space to overpay players. And that's what we're going to see this season, is just a lot of overpaying. I truly believe that. And I'm still excited to see what comes of this. And just, I don't know. I just like how this draft class is going. I like how free agency, I like the free agents available. It just seems like this could be very heated and a very interesting draft class. And it's very interesting offseason in general, for sure. And I'm very looking forward to it much. And honestly, like, going through this all, I'm honestly like, let's just look, for example, at the Cardinals' schedule for 2019. Because I want to see the first overall pick schedule, what their plans are and what they're going to do. Because I think it all depends on, like, how this all goes down in the long run. Because the dates haven't been set yet, but yes, they have to play the Rams twice, Seattle twice, San Francisco 49ers twice. They play Atlanta, a beatable team, a Carolina beatable team, New Orleans a beatable team, not beatable, Tampa Bay beatable, Cincinnati beatable, Cleveland tough, Pittsburgh, I'm going to say beatable, Baltimore okay, and Detroit okay. So add Paxton, or not, I almost said Paxton Lynch. Wow, I can't believe that name went through the mind. Add Kyler Murray to that starting quarterback position. Do they have an advantage against the Atlanta Falcon team or Carolina Panther team that's not very good against a mobile quarterback? Like, will this one guy, even if he doesn't have keeps the same talent around him, be a difference maker when it comes down to wins and losses? If they do draft Kyler Murray, because it seems like people are already setting in stone that they're going to draft Kyler Murray, and this is now the Kyler Murray sweepstakes in the draft, not the Nick Bosa as it was for months and months on end. There's just so many question marks about this, and I guess it's just one of the best things I love about sports is the unpredictability. Like last year, Baker Mayfield being selected first, that wasn't even thought about until the day of the draft. And then, of course, there's, like, so many other questionable picks. Like, who is that? Why is he drafted in the first round type of thing? And I love that. I love the unpredictability when it comes to that. I guess that's what everyone loves about sports is the unpredictability. You really don't know what's going to happen unless you're watching the NBA, and then you're going to know that the Warriors are going to win. Or you're watching a Super Bowl and the Patriots are going to win. But I guess since they lost three times, anything is possible, right? But I think the bottom line is, with Kyler Murray, add another depth piece to your wide receiver core. Maybe get a Mark Ingram in free agency. You can make some damage. You can do some damage in the draft. An old high five to a young high five, from an old player to a young player, and so on and so forth. And go from there. But it's hard to really get that. It's hard to really predict what's going to be the outcome. Is what I'm saying going to be totally throwback in my face, like pulling a Rob Barker or a Skip Bayless? You know, I was actually watching a compilation of them two, Rob Parker and Skip Bayless, and their predictions are pretty absurd, especially Rob Parker and his Tom Brady thoughts and theories about him. Is like, he keeps saying they're not winning a Super Bowl, they're the worst team, they're not winning the Super Bowl, blah, 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 for like about a year and a half now, and he's been in the Super Bowl twice. So what does that tell you about the jinx in sports? Like, I am a superstitious guy when it comes to sports. When someone says, oh, they're not winning, it sounds like they're going to win. And I just love when, like, and then remember Rob Barker said he was going to move to Mexico if they were going to win another Super Bowl. What happened? He didn't move to Mexico. I wanted to see him at least, like, be in Mexico for a show, like, do it via satellite, right? Right? That would have made sense. But whatever. You can only do so much. We can't control where he goes. I wish we could, because then I was like, where do you want him to go? I'd be like, put him in Mexico for a day, put him on a satellite. We're going to do this special because he said he was going to be there. Let's make this happen. But then, now speaking of Tom Brady, a very important question is necessary. And what I'm saying is, do the Patriots need to draft a quarterback in the first round as a replacement in the future for Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady's not getting any younger, let's face it. And you need a replacement sooner rather than later. I know he says he's going to play for another 4 or 5 years from now. He's going to play till he's 45. He's going to play till he's 50. He's going to play till he's 60. He's going to play till he's 70. He's going to play until his arm literally falls off from his body because of corrosion and just all the old flesh just disintegrating away from his body due to old age. But he's still going to throw touchdown passes and win a Super Bowl. Just watch. He's going to have one arm. He's going to have all, like, glass bones because he's been hit so often. He's going to be 85 and still throwing touchdown passes to Julian Edelman. And that's just how I see that going. But then also you're looking at, like, how just is Tom Brady done? That is the age-old question. Is Tom Brady done? And we've heard this over and over again. He's 41, he's 42, or whatever old he is, blah, 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 blah. Until he really starts to struggle and, like, has one of his worst regular seasons or one of his worst postseasons, like he just falls off a cliff both times and they just don't even notice he was there, then you can make that an issue. But if he was right, but it's all about appearance. It's all about how you look. And Tom Brady right now looks like a guy that can seriously still get the job done. He looks like he's $1 million still, to be honest with you. So if anyone could still play till they're 45, and Tom Brady says he's still playing till he's 45, it looks like it's going to be that guy. So pretty exciting time. We're still be able to watch the greatest quarterback of all time. I grew up a 49er fan. Even I think Tom Brady is the greatest of all time and not Joe Montana, because no one has done what Tom Brady's done. Yes, he's lost three Super Bowls and Brady's lost three Super Bowls and Montana hasn't. But bottom line is, he went to 9, he won 6. No one will do that. I don't think we'll ever see this ever again. What we're seeing right now with Tom Brady and the run the Patriots have, I don't think we'll ever see that ever again. But that's just my take on it. I'm sure some of you disagree, some of you might agree. I would really appreciate if you guys agreed, because it would just help me know that I'm clarifying right. But we're going to take a short break again. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL news about free agency and who's available and whatnot. We'll be right back right after this. We'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Just a little update on what's going on. The Chiefs are looking to propose an overtime rule change. Now, all of you may know that overtime in the AFC Championship game between the Patriots and the Chiefs ended in a touchdown, and in the rule book, a field goal gives the other team a chance to score, but a touchdown ends the game outright. And so in their first possession, the Patriots drove down the field and ran the ball in for a touchdown to go to the Super Bowl and eventually beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. But granted, it's one of those things where you are going to cry foul, the Chiefs are at least, but you can understand their frustration. They don't have another opportunity. Like in college football, I believe it works where they're at like the 35-yard line. It's not field goal. It's not easy chip shot field goal range, but you could still score on the three downs you have, maybe in four if you have to. So there is a lot more anxiety when you're watching them step back to the 10-yard line to do a onside kick instead of the fact that they're still in right in front of those other guys like 2 yards apart. It's a little easier to get off an onside kick. But that – or an onside kick to get into overtime and get the ball quickly. And I think there's just a lot of other aspects of the game that can be changed due to an overtime where it's maybe a quarter length or two teams get it and then it goes from sudden death till then. But I really don't know. Maybe it should be that kind of rule book and overtime. Like, overtime rules do need to change. That's been the big talk ever since the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Patriots. That has been the main topic of discussion, the overtime. So we'll see if this proposal even gets talked about in the managers meeting or whatever they or the ownership meetings or however they work it with. But there's still a lot of rule changes that need to be made, especially like with the roughing the passers and all that other things that are phantom calls and questionable calls that you wouldn't normally agree with. So there is going to be differences in how we think the overtime rules are going to affect the game if they do change them. And are they going to change it to the fact they're going to just eliminate kickoffs, or are they going to do the fact where they're going to have the kickoffs and have like a regular game, but it's going to be a full quarter length or something of that nature? Or are they going to change it to like it is in college football, the overtime where they're at, I think they're at the 35-yard line. And if there's no time limit. It's just if you get in, you get in. If you score a field goal, they continue. They score a field goal, then it's your turn again. And it goes on from there. That's why there's like 6-7 overtimes like that and stuff. And when you see that, but I see. I think it needs to be changed. I used to like the rule, oh, okay, touchdown ends if field goal keeps it going. But you know what? That would change the Super Bowl 51. That would change the AFC Championship game last year. And I think it might be up for the better. Maybe just do a 5-minute quarter. They would probably burn the first team gets the ball, probably burn the clock a bunch, then kick a game winning field goal so it doesn't really change anything. Just a full quarter of play. Probably in like, I don't, see, that's tough to know when the best time to do that kind of, I guess, like just like a wrestling thing, you know, like just fight, you know, like have an Iron Man match or something to finish it off. Have the two coaches wrestle for overtime. That'd be entertaining to watch. I'd watch that. But again, this is all assumption, and we'll see how everything goes. But again, the Kansas City Chiefs are looking to change the overtime rules, and I can't really say I blame them. And moving on from that to back to the combine today, I think the most watched one of all of them is the 40, and I think John Ross has that record, if I'm not mistaken. And God, I gotta look that up. Actually, I'll just look up right now who has the fastest 40. I think it's John Ross, if I'm not mistaken. I think it has to be John Ross, right? I'm not crazy, am I? No. There's just thank you, Cheat Sheet, for just giving me like 17 a list of like the top 10, but you give me a top 15 where like 10 of them are tied. So I have to scroll all the way down. Thank you. I was right. John Ross was the fastest. And he ran a 4. Jesus! He ran a 4.18. Bo Jackson's unofficial time was 4.13. And you know what? Speaking of John Ross, the Bengals are looking to shop him. Are looking to shop him and trade him. How funny is it that when you get the fastest 40 time in NFL history, you're already going to be shopped and looked at as a trade option? But what would you give a fast receiver? I mean, he doesn't really have the hands to be a great receiver. He's just a guy that you put the ball deep and hope to God he catches it. I think that's what he's mainly used for. He's a lot like Tyreek Hill, but I think Tyreek Hill just has a lot more talent on catching the ball and running routes than he does. And so I'm not taking anything away from how good he is at his speed, because his speed is second to none. You can arguably say that Tyreek Hill is faster than he is, but I don't think so. It's just so hard to say nowadays, just because, like, I honestly thought the 40 should be run in pads, because they're running in pads regardless, right? They're training in pads. They're going to be running on the field in pads. Just have them do the 40 in pads, and then that would be an accurate statement of how fast they run with pads on, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that make sense if they used that? I think it would. I think it would make perfect sense, to be honest with you. But that's just my opinion. That's how I see it, at least. And with that, the thing with all of that is the combine really, like, you can have the best combine in NFL history. Doesn't mean you're going to be the best player. I've seen there was a video, I forget who it was on, but it was a guy that trained nothing but all the combine events, like the bench press, the running, and all that other stuff. He did nothing but train what the combine events are. And he did them in flying colors and moved from, like, I think it was like second or third round projection to going like number 6 overall because of how good he was at the combine, because he worked on nothing but combine stuff. So I always think of the combine as like fool's gold too, because of the fact, like, anyone can train for 40-yard dash and quick scrimmages and all that kind of thing, and running drills and that kind of stuff. It matters when you're on the field. I think they do the Senior Bowl and stuff, but I don't know. Maybe they should change up the combine a little bit, but maybe that's why it's not very watched, because it's so hard to transcribe what they're going to do at the professional level when pads are on and the game is on, because running a 40 is not the same as just running with the football when you have the football. I think everybody knows that. And I guess a lot of people would tell too, based off just how slow everything goes as well. Because kind of sounds like, if you listen to the announcers, it also sounds like golf. And he's about to run his 40 time here. And he does it. Great run by the prospect out of Notre Dame. I'm dead inside. I don't think that I say that, but you get my point. But we're going to take another short break, and then we're going to finish the day off with just my projections not just on the draft, but what teams need to do to get for the top five teams in the draft. Do they need to trade up or trade down or not? We'll talk about that when we return.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Now let's go right into it. As we all know, on April 25th to April 27th, 2019, we're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee for the NFL Draft. Now, let's look at the draft order for the first five picks, and we'll see who needs to keep their picks the way they are, and we will see who needs maybe to move up or down, depending. First things first, obviously number one is Arizona. And I think the obvious question is, do they trade down? And I ask that because what can they get trading down? A future couple? They could probably, quite possibly, get a couple first-round selections for their first overall pick. And especially with teams that need quarterbacks, like they can honestly trade for Tampa Bay's pick, or let's say the Jacksonville Jaguars pick, and their future first round selection for the number one overall pick. They get Kyler Murray. They get a offensive tackle or offensive lineman that they desperately, desperately need. And they have Josh Rosen as their permanent quarterback. And then there's more controversy about who their quarterback is. Because then there's the question of always, is there going to be, why are they staying at number one? Are they going to draft Kyler Murray? And then that proves that strains the relationship between the new head coach and the 2 year, or however you want to describe it, 2 year, 1 year. Some people I've said 1 year man because he's literally only spent a year, but would it be a second year? Would it be a 2 year man? Or just his sophomore campaign. We'll see the sophomore campaign of a first round quarterback and the head coach who just drafted another quarterback would be at odds with each other the rest of the way. And I just think it's too early to do that to a player. I think you got to give Josh Rosen an opportunity. I've said this over and over again, but I'll keep saying it. If the Cardinals really think that their guy is Rosen, make the point, trade down, get an offensive lineman, go off him. And that's just my prediction, the whole thing. But again, I don't think they're going to move unless they're getting, like, this year's first-round selection, next year's, and maybe even next year's first-round selection, maybe a second-round selection. You got to give them the farm for this number one overall pick, but that's just always how it goes. But if they do go with this pick in Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen's done. That's just the bottom line right there. And he's going to be traded or whatever they're going to do with him. I'm not sure, but Josh Rosen might be in the XFL by 2020 if they draft Kyler Murray this draft. But again, that's my opinion. Okay, let's go to number two overall pick. The 49ers have it. I don't think they're moving unless they're getting John Lynch has said that he's open to trading down. But again, I think you got to give him this year's selection, a first-round selection next year. I think you got to get at least two first-round draft picks out of it, getting it. And I think that's a pretty good deal. out of it. But I guess it also depends on who's giving up that first round selection. Because, well, actually not the case, because you will have your own first round selection and then next year someone else's first round selection. So you'll have two first round selections next year. But again, I would rather have it come from like Tampa Bay or someone in the top 10, maybe even Denver, to play it safe, because I don't think Joe Flacco's taking him to the playoffs. So, but that's just my at minimum bid for a trade if I'm the 49ers, is, or like any of the top five for that matter, is you got to give me this round selection and a next first round selection if you really want this. Because, well, you know, now thinking about it, the Niners would probably be the only ones that would be able to say that because of the fact Nick Bosa's on the board. And so if you're, let's say, well, let's say the number 10 pick, Denver, you would have to trade this year's selection, next year's selection, probably like a second or third round pick as well, because you're pretty high compared to two. You're at number 10. So they would be thinking, okay, we can get some good players out of this trade. We get two first round picks for next season and still a number one, the top 10 pick for this season. But then you lose out on like the talent of a Nick Bosa or a Josh Allen or a Quinnen Williams. So you're kind of at odds there, but regardless, it is a tricky situation. Nonetheless, I personally don't know where I would go, what I would do in this situation, but you have the first pick. If I'm the Niners, I'd be like, you have the first pick, Arizona, take it. We're good the way we are. If anyone wants to, Nick Bosa or Kyler Murray, whoever's going to be available, to call us. That's basically, the Niners are in a very good situation right now, because if you try to trade for that first round draft pick from the Niners, you're going to either get Nick Bosa or Kyler Murray, whoever, depending on the team you are. And that is going to be a huge, huge thing, and where you're looking at it as a huge selling point. Do you want Nick Bosa or do you want Kyler Murray? You got to get to the number two pick before anyone else does. And you got to surprise us with an amazing offer. You can't just lowball us. We know what a lowball is. So I think it's a great idea to just say, I'll listen to ideas, but have at least have, what's the word I'm looking for? At least have expectations of what to go for. Don't just settle, you know, because you saw the second overall pick, you know, it's still a win situation. So it's just hard to say. Bottom line is the Niners are looking at a fast rebuild with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they traded down, but it depends on what they get out of it too. So we'll see how all that goes down. And then, of course, you have the number third pick, the Jets, who have already said publicly they were willing to trade down. But, I mean, that's not a bad spot either, because if they go one Nick Bosa, two Josh Allen, you got Quinnen Williams. Go one Nick Bosa, two Quinnen Williams, you get Josh Allen. You get one of the top edge rushers in this draft, and this draft is loaded with edge rushers. Like this Ed Oliver guy from Houston, who's supposed to be like the number two overall pick, is only 6'2", but his size doesn't compare to the ability he has on the field if you watch his tape. And he's still very much liked in the scouting departments and people watching his tape and watching his combine stuff. But it's so strange how you see a guy like Ed Oliver, who was, I saw him a bunch before, like in the middle of the season, as the number two prospect. And then, of course, there was that fight he had with the his coaches. I'm not sure what that was all about. It might have been from playing time or something. I was unaware of the situation. I don't have all the details on it. But ever since then, I saw his stock draft go down. Maybe it was just because they thought he would be butting heads with the personnel or something like that. But I don't think that's the main issue why he dropped. I think just because there's other people that have been playing excellent this last college football season and that he just dropped. That's the way of the circumstances. And this was at one point a Nick Bosa at sweepstakes kind of draft thing. Now he might not even go number one. He might not even go number two. So we will see how all that goes down for him. But I think for Nick Bosa, his injury is definitely a worry, regardless how he does in this combine on the field stuff. I just think him injury prone like his brother is a serious concern to me. That's why if I'm like the Niners and I'm number two and I'm going for an edge rusher, I think I'm going with Josh Allen. I think he's the better fit. I think he's the better player overall. He might be the best edge rusher in the draft compared to even comparing to Nick Bosa. So, but of course, then you have the awesome defensive tackle in Quinton Williams. But you have a great defensive tackle yourself if you're the 49ers and DeForest Buckner. So it's really a win-win situation there. But honestly, if you have one of the top five picks and you pick a defensive player, you're really not going to be in the bad end of it, because there's so many talented defensive players in this draft that can rush the passer, that can that stop the run, or even stop is a good coverage guy like Greedy Williams out of LSU. There's so many good options, and I cannot wait to see them play in the NFL, because this is a loaded defensive draft class with some great offensive guys there too, but this is a defensive class, no doubt about it. But that is our show today. Thank you so much for joining me. Please tune us in on Monday. We'll have more information on anything football as it continues for the weekend. As always, I'm Jeff Valenoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.